This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Length reporting for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the weekend edition of the KE Report and the second hour. Unfortunately, Al had again some technical issues at the end of the week, so he was unable to get a show recorded for all of you. He has promised me that he will be back next week when he gets all his technical issues sorted out for the second hour. For everyone listening on the radio, I'm going to feature some of the key company interviews that I had throughout this week. This is just a selection of four key interviews, four companies that I featured, but you can see all the interviews that I recorded throughout the week on our website, kereport.com. I'm leading off this second hour with an update from Skeena Resources, because when I had Walter Coles on the show that I posted on Friday, there is some big catalysts coming for the company this year. I hope you all enjoy this interview. Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're getting an update from Skeena Resources, traded on the TSX under the symbol SKE and on the OTCQX under the symbol SKREF. I'm chatting with Walter Coles, President and CEO of Skeena. Now, Walter, recently I've been talking a lot to Paul Geddes, who is the company's Vice President of Exploration and Resource Development. He's been diving into the continued drill results and drilling success of the company has been having, especially at that SK Creek property. But I was recently getting some emails asking, Skeena Resources just raised $57.5 million. The company has a lot of money in the bank. What's this money going to be used for to further advance both SK Creek and even SNIP? Can you please give us an overview here of what these funds are going to be used for?
Sure, more than happy to do that. I guess I would break it up into three categories. The first is to complete the pre-feasibility study for SK, which we expect to have done in July. The second component of the spending will be on the full feasibility study, which we're targeting to have done in the first quarter of 2022. And then the third aspect is continue to grow the size of this project. And how are we going to do that? We've got 25,000 meters budgeted for exploration at SK starting in June. And that's very different from last year, because last year, I guess 90 plus percentage of the drilling that we did was infill drilling. So we did very little exploration last year. That's flip-flopped. This year it's 90% exploration, 10% infill at SK. We're also drilling at SNIP. We've got two drill rigs operating there right now. They're doing a combination of infill. I think about just over half of the resource at SNIP is inferred, so we need to get that converted over to M&I. And, of course, we're chasing opportunities to continue to grow the size of SNIP. So all, I think, you know, very positive opportunities to, I think, you know, fulfill this mission of turning SK into a revitalized mine that can reach Tier 1 status.
So, Walter, let's break these down one by one then. The pre-feasibility study and the feasibility study we'll take a little bit later here. Let's talk about the exploration, because that's some of the near-term catalysts. In terms of the exploration at SK, if it's 90% exploration-focused, what are some of the key targets that you guys are going after, and why have you prioritized these the highest?
I'm convinced SK is going to have an underground component to it. But having said that, almost a very small amount of the drilling that we're doing this summer is focused on the underground, those sort of stacked lower mudstone layers. And the reason for that is shallow ounces are cheap ounces. Like, we think there's an opportunity close to the mine to find more, let's call them 22 zones, rhyolite deposits that might have, you know, 200,000 to 300,000 to 400,000 ounces. You know, right now, the resource that we just put out grew to 5.6 million ounces. Last time we put a resource out, it was 4 million ounces. So we added 1.6 million ounces to the resource. And keep in mind, now I think 90% of that is in the measured and indicated category, where before it was only, you know, half of it was inferred. So we've increased the confidence level dramatically. I think when the pre-feas comes out, you're probably going to see something, you know, in terms of reserves between 3.75 and maybe 3.9 million ounces reserves. So call it like a 75% conversion ratio. So what I'm pushing Paul Geddes, our VP of Exploration, on is go out over the next 12 months and find us another million to a million and a half ounces. And I think he can do it. So grow that resource up to 7 million ounces gold equivalent. And keep in mind, it's like 75% gold, 25% silver. I think Paul can do it. And if he gets it to 7 million ounces of resource, you know, if you have a 75% conversion rate to reserves, that's north of 5 million ounces of reserves. And Mark Christos, the CEO of Barrick, is quite outspoken in saying a tier one gold project for Barrick is a project that has 5 million ounces of reserves and a 500,000 ounce a year production profile. I am very confident that we can achieve that goal of 5 million ounces of reserves. I don't know that we'll get to 500,000 ounces a year initially. And part of that is just the permitting regimes in British Columbia. You basically have to stick a pin in your project from an engineering perspective early on. So even though we're going to keep on growing the project, I think initially we'll have to permit something that's, you know, maybe it's in the 400,000 ounce a year range. But that doesn't mean there can't be an expansion to the mine in years two or three where you get it up over 500,000 ounces a year. I think that's doable. And if that's the case, and Mark Christos says there are only 13 tier one gold projects globally. So it would be, in my mind, an amazing accomplishment for the Skeena team if we could make this number 14.
Wow, okay. So that brings us into that pre-feasibility study then. Are you expecting or are you hoping, it sounds like, that the pre-fees into the fees early next year, that it is going to show an early on mine operation output of 400,000 ounces a year?
Look, I mean, I don't want to get too out far over my skis. Do I think it's doable? Absolutely. You know, there's a lot of moving parts to the permitting and the timing on the engineering. I would say, do I believe this mine will produce over 400,000 ounces a year on average? Absolutely. Will that show up in the pre-fees? Probably not. You know, maybe it's like in the PEA, we were 300,000 ounces a year. I wouldn't be surprised if we jumped to like 360 for the pre-fees, and maybe for the feasibility, you know, at that point, we're over 400,000 ounces.
Okay, thanks for clarifying. Let's talk about SNIP quickly then, too, because infill and exploration going on here, converting inferred to measured and indicated. How many meters are planned here, and what is possible with this drill program for this year?
Yeah, it's about 18,000 meters, and approximately 10,000 of it is infill drilling, and approximately 8,000 meters of exploration. And you know exploration, especially with the SNP. SNP's harder. It's high-grade veins. They pinch, they swell, they're there, they're not there. It takes a lot of work to add ounces at SNP. It's an awesome little project. We've done some sort of preliminary engineering on it. It looks great, especially if we are able to use it as a satellite source of feed and mine there and truck the ore over to a central mill at SK. You know, it's got the potential to add, I think, somewhere between 40 to 50,000 ounces a year to an SK mine as a satellite source of feed. It's not going to make it into the pre-fees. It probably won't even make it into the feasibility study. But, you know, I think we'll work on potentially a PEA to show what it looks like, and it's an opportunity that could be brought into the mine lights, brought into the SK mine plan. You know, maybe it's in like year two or three that you start to add feed from SNIP. And keep in mind, the grade's awesome. It's 13 grams. I think after mining, maybe diluted grade might be 9 or 10. But look, the average grade over at SNIP is between 4 and 5 grams. If we're trucking over material that's 9 grams, that's fantastic. There's a lot of value out there, a lot of profitability.
All right, we're out of time for this segment. But again, that was just some snippets of a much longer interview that was hosted on Friday. Everyone, stick around. I'm going to be right back with an update from Aztec Minerals.
Yeah. Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Join me, George Norrie, for the Worldwide Contact in the Desert Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to June 28th. Contact in the Desert is an epic weekend of adventure, jam-packed with exciting explorations into UFOs, ancient civilizations, AI, crop circles, forbidden archaeology, disclosure, and the newest evidence of ongoing contact, sightings, and leading-edge science. This amazing weekend delivers more than 130 presentations and special events showcasing 67 speakers from all over the world, with 2 extra weeks to view your favorite leading experts, including Avi Loeb with Clyde Lewis, Linda Moulton Howe, Paul Hellyer, John Lear, Russell Targ, David Childress, Doc Wallach, and more. With breaking articles in the New York Times and acknowledged naval sightings, and more importantly, the new release of classified documents on the day of the soft opening of Contact in the Desert, we are your source for inside information. Join us June 25th at contactinthedesert.com to get your tickets today. Make contact, contactinthedesert.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only 2 documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the second hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report and continuing to replay some of the more important company updates that we had this week. In this segment, I am joined by Simon Dykowski over at Aztec Minerals. Now, I wanted to feature Aztec this week because it was the week prior to that the stock went through a nice move, and it was on the back of no news, maybe just some more investors realizing what the company had going with its current drill programs. Simon had just got back from site, so I wanted to get general update of how the drill program was progressing over at the Tombstone property in Arizona. This interview was posted back on Thursday. I hope you all enjoy. Hey, everyone. Welcome in to another daily editorial here in the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are getting an update from Aztec Minerals, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol AZT, and on the OTCQB under the symbol AZZTF. I'm chatting with the President and CEO, Simon Dykowski. Now, Simon, I just wanted to get a quick update on you regarding this Phase 2 RC drill program that is ongoing at the Tombstone property in Arizona. It's a 3,000-meter program, total of 20 holes. I understand you were just down on site, had a look at how the drilling's progressing and the old mine that is on this project. What updates can you give us real quick about this Phase 2 program, please?
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity to come on, Corey. And as you mentioned, I was down there last week inspecting the first phase of our Phase 2 drill program. We're currently drilling 3,000 meters across 20 holes, and the purpose of the drill program is to infill and step out from the patterns that we drilled last year in Phase 1. So that was Aztec's first opportunity to drill test shallow gold-silver targets at the Contention open pit in the Tombstone Historic Silver District that produced 32 million ounces of silver between 1880 and 1940. So it was really our first opportunity, and we had, as we've discussed before, some really great results. We focused our drilling on three spokes, one in the north, one in the center, and one in the south end of the 830-meter striking Contention structure. And with the good results of that program, we decided to infill and to loosely set up our drill hole orientations on a fence this year. So the drill holes are oriented 50 meters apart along the pit, and then we're drilling a 2-3 hole fan from each setup. So to date, we've drilled about 6 holes now out of our 20 in the month that we've started drilling. And these setups have been largely south of the north end of the pit, so we're almost complete infilling between the south and the center of the pit now. And I'll just point out that some of the results that we had last year at the north end of the pit were some of the highest grade that we reported, and hole 9 stood out as a highlight. That was 15.24 meters at 6.18 grams per ton gold and 77.2 grams per ton silver, or 7.15 grams per ton gold equivalent. And that was right in the north end of the pit, and it was from a shallow 32 meters down the hole. So we've got our first three setups are 50, 50, and 50 meters south of that. We've got some holes into the lab and some holes being drilled. So all in all, it's been a good start, and we hope to have some results out over the next few weeks from those first few holes. And we anticipate moving the rig down to the south side of the pit in a couple of weeks here, and we'll be drilling through July and have results rolling in through probably the end of August.
How big is this pit in terms of strike length from the north down to the south? And what are you guys testing in terms of strike length with this program?
It's big. I mean, it was, you know, when I saw it in person, it was quite a bit bigger than I expected. But it's about 830 meters long, and it was mined down to a depth at the deepest part of about 60 meters. And, it's speculated that there was about 5 million tons of material taken out of the heap leach gold mine in the 80s. So it was a sizable operation, and you know, we feel that the drill testing here is giving us enough confidence to look for more ore in the region, and obviously in the in the immediate vicinity of the old working. So it's big, yeah, and it could it's very, you know, it's actually very fortuitous for us to be drilling now in this kind of rebound era of gold prices. It's great that we're trading a little bit above 1900, but these kind of potential operations can be very valuable in gold bull markets.
So will you guys be able to issue a resource on the back of this Phase 2 program, or is it still a little bit too early for that?
probably a little bit too early. By the end of this program, we'll have 20 holes of our own into, or sorry, 40 holes combined, 20 last year, 20 this year. We'll have a lot of information. Obviously, we'll have, you know, most of the drill setups on 50 meter centers, at the north end of the pit, and then at least 100 meter and 50 meter centers in the south. So we'll be getting close, but it's probably going to drive, more drilling. I mean, there are some targets off to the west that we want to incorporate as well, and potentially to the east of the pit wall as well. So we want to make sure that we capture, you know, all the potential before we start constraining ourselves with kind of resource targets.
Okay. Hey, fair enough, Simon. Can you just remind everybody about the JV that is on this project? Because the company does have two projects, a Tombstone project in southern Arizona. That's where you're drilling right now. Also, the Cervantes project in Mexico. Both of these are under JV. Please just remind everybody your portion of this JV at Tombstone.
Yes, we're 75% of the JV. We're the operator with a private equity group out of the U.S. on Tombstone, and then we're 65% of a JV with Kootenay Silver at Cervantes. So it's a 65-35 split where we're also the operator.
All right, so in terms of news flow then, Simon, just quickly wrap us up with a quick summary of what investors can expect, please.
Well, we can expect drill results from Tombstone all the way through the end of the summer, and then we'll start to have some updates on Cervantes. First up will be the results of our phase one program that we conducted in the spring, and then we'll start talking about preparations for further work there in the fall. So, you know, I'd characterize it as fairly robust news flow from both projects through the end of the year.
All right, there you have it, an update from Aztec Minerals. And full disclosure, I am a shareholder of Aztec Minerals as well. If anybody has any follow-up questions for any of these companies that I'm featuring on the second hour of the weekend show, or any of the companies that I simply interviewed throughout the week, please be sure to email me, fleck@kereport.com. I love hearing from all of you, and I really do my best to reach out to those companies, get the what I think are better companies on the show, and the companies that are doing work to help advance their projects. It's one thing I really focus on is not so much this whole re-rate potential, more the catalyst that the companies have upcoming that will almost in a way force investors into the individual stocks, because let's face it, as much macro analysis as we do, you can get the best torque from the stocks no matter what type of a market, bull or bear market, we are in. So we follow a lot of stocks on a almost daily basis now. Please keep on checking our website for all those updates. I'm going to be right back with my interview from Northwest Copper. This is a new copper company that I've been featuring a couple times on the show.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We know the global elites, the 1%, have hijacked and subverted the U.S. culture, economy, and government. The battle to take back America begins with the Rise USA, the Resurrection Tour. Thousands of patriots are on the march to Little Rock, Shreveport, and three stops in Texas, plus many other stops on the Arise USA Tour. 50 states, 84 stops, 111 days. The Arise USA Tour will unite the 99% of we the people that stand against the 1% globalist elites and their tyranny. The tour is free with hundreds of speakers and freedom fighters, including former CIA spy Robert David Steele, Urban Global Health Alliance Kevin Jenkins, sixth generation farmer Trent Luce, human rights advocate Sasha Stone, and many more. For tour info and a list of speakers, go to AriseUSA.com. Join the thousands that have donated over $1 million to Arise USA Tour. To donate or for the tour stop nearest you, go to AriseUSA.com. That's AriseUSA.com.
USA Radio News with Mike Fortier.
The Republican co-chair of the 9/11 Commission criticizing Republicans who oppose a similar commission for the January riot at the Capitol. Former New Jersey Senator Thomas Kane telling The Guardian the failure to establish the commission is democracy's loss, and some Republicans are afraid of what they'd find out. New York Democratic Senator Chuck Schumer seems to agree.
But out of fear or fealty to Donald Trump, the Republican minority just prevented the American people from getting the full truth about January 6th. The Republican minority just prevented the Senate from even debating the bill.
Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell says the commission would not have uncovered crucial new facts or promoted healing. A tense weekend expected in Oklahoma, several events planned around Tulsa to mark 100 years since a deadly race massacre. Homeland Security warning white supremacist groups may target the events. This is USA Radio News. A new COVID variant found in Asia. Vietnam's health minister announcing Saturday it has found a variant that's a hybrid of the UK and Indian variants. This variant said to be much more transmissible, especially in the air, and it replicates itself very quickly. Meanwhile, in the U.S., President Biden saying yesterday we're getting closer to his vaccine goal.
I set an ambitious goal of getting 70% of adult Americans at least one shot by July the 4th. Today, just over a month to go, we're at 62%. 10 states have already reached the 70% milestone.
Biden adds we're not just saving lives, but getting our lives back as America rebounds from the depths of the pandemic. President Biden's $6 trillion budget proposal released Friday. It prioritizes infrastructure, education, research, public health, paid family leave, and child care. But it does not include a national minimum wage of $15 an hour or a ban on using federal funds for most abortions, a ban in effect since 1976 and known as the Hyde Amendment. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer, can communicate information, and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, we are back. Third segment in the second hour. And as promised, I am replaying my interview with Peter Bell from Northwest Copper. This was posted on Thursday, and this is a new high-grade copper exploration company that came together through a combination of Sun Metals and Serengeti Resources. To listen to the full interview, again, visit our website and click on that Thursday posting. In the meantime, here are some of the highlights. Hey, everyone. Welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're getting an update from Northwest Copper, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol NWST. I'm chatting with the president and CEO, Peter Bell. Now, just to bring everybody up to speed, I introduced Northwest Copper just a couple weeks ago on the show. I'll post a link to that initial interview because that really brings everybody up to speed on this company that is relatively new. It's an oxygen capital company that came together through the combination of Sun Metals and Serengeti Resources. A couple of the main projects here is the Stardust and Quanica project, both in BC, and really the way the company is, I think, starting to look at this is as a almost combined project here. Let's start off with the news release that came out on May 17th here, Peter. It's a resource estimate, updated resource here at Stardust, really the focus being on high grade. Stardust is a high grade copper asset. The resource came in at just shy of 8 million tons, a little short of 2 million tons in the indicated. That was at over 2.5% copper equivalent, and inferred just short of 6 million tons at 1.88 copper equivalent. Peter, give us a general overview of the takeaways that your team has from this updated resource.
Yeah, there are a few of them, and thanks, and great to be on the show again. Listen, the main thing I think for us, the main upside part of this is the size. So, we knew the grade was good, and the grade came in kind of as expected. The thing that was a positive surprise for us was it ended up being more tons than we thought. We'd kind of been thinking 4 to 5 million tons. We ended up, as you said, just shy of 8, which really reflects, I think, the down plunge continuity of the main zone and the work that was done drilling out the 421 zone at depth. So that is the big takeaway for us, is that we've got more high-grade material to add into the combined project.
Now, as I mentioned, Peter, this is a high-grade resource, and I think most people that follow the copper sector understand that 2.5% copper equivalent, and even 1.8% copper equivalent, those are high grades, but how does that compare to other copper assets in BC?
Sure, it's about 5 times. So the average BC copper mine has a grade of about 0.5 copper equivalent. So pretty remarkable deposit and certainly quite unusual in this part of the world.
So, okay, high-grade copper. Somebody may be looking at the Stardust asset or resource here, saying 8 million tons. It's not that big compared to some copper assets. What about when you combine it with the Quanica asset as well? What are the total mineral resources here in copper?
Sure, great question. Quanica has existing measured and indicated resource of about 224 million tons. So with a high grade subset of that, which is, as we mentioned in the previous interview, the part that we will target. But yeah, there's a 224 million ton measured and indicated resource immediately adjacent, so within 7 kilometers. So we've got lots of scale here too.
So then what work is going to be happening here, Peter, to continue to move both of these projects through? And you and I chatted recently, I understand that there is a drill program that's starting up very soon, but bring everybody up to speed on, now that you have these resources and this underlying asset, what drives the stock from here?
Sure. We're going to start drilling as soon as we can get our rigs out on the roads, which are a little damp as of today. But we have our crews ready, poised to go out, and everyone mobilized out to the field right now. So we're ready to start any time. And the drilling will start on Quanica, and it's really focused on the high-grade part of Quanica. So we'll be doing some drilling that I call kind of grade enhancement. So it's a little bit of a mix between infill and trying to upgrade the resource, and it really is trying to best characterize the highest grade part of Quanica, and which we will then add to our mine plan with Stardust in the future. So that's the drilling. And then another thing I would add just about Stardust itself is, although we're not going to drill there this year, the work we did on the resource, we spent a lot of time looking at the model and the previous geologic work, and you know, it's pretty clear there are some targets that need a little more work developing, but you know, we've doubled the resource with the drill bit from the previous estimate to this estimate at Stardust. So it shows the power of drilling out this high-grade stuff, and we definitely want to put together something and try and come back in there maybe in 2022.
So, Peter, just give us a little more understanding. Why not poke a couple holes into Stardust this year then?
Well, what we want to do is we want to, really establish a track record of executing on what we've said we're going to do and advancing this project and de-risking it. And you know, we think we can build a fantastic and robust project with just the existing resources. That's not to take away from the exploration upside, but as I said, it needs a little more work. And, you know, these holes are high risk and high return, and I'd rather drill them, when we've advanced the rest of the project a little further.
So is there a certain resource size, understanding again that this is high grade, that would then move the company through, say, doing economic studies, even move them closer, move you closer to moving this project into some sort of a construction decision or building the asset out that way?
Quite honestly, we on our internal numbers, looking at what we know we have and what's in the public domain, we have a big enough project to make a material copper mine in BC as of right now. So while we think we can make it bigger, it doesn't need to be bigger to be material and robust economically too.
So then are we going to get, after that drilling at Quanica, an updated resource there, building on what you already have?
Yep. We're gonna have an updated resource at Quanica by the end of the year. Again, focusing on the highest grade portion of Quanica, which is the part that we plan to incorporate into the combined project. And I do want to mention, in terms of drilling and upside, part of the reason that Stardust is less of an exploration focus this year is we have our East Niv project as well that's up to the north, which is a standalone grassroots project, which you mentioned in the last interview, which is a outcropping porphyry, ore grade porphyry mineralization at surface close to Kamas. So we'll be drilling there from early July.
What about some of the other drilling that's going to happen here for the company? Because we touched on it in the first interview, but bring everybody up to speed on some of the other projects, some of the other catalysts for the company.
Sure. So the main ones are the drilling at Quanica, which I mentioned. We've also got regional drilling at Quanica, and we've got the opportunity to, because we're fully funded and cashed up, we have the opportunity to test some targets that were developed by our predecessor, by Serengeti, around Quanica that are really robust, and we'll be testing some of those as part of that Quanica program. And then I mentioned East Niv, where we could have a brand new copper gold porphyry in British Columbia, by later this year if our drilling goes as we'd like it to. And then finally, our third project is Lorraine, where we may do a little bit of drilling, but it's really trying to take advantage of a long history of work done by Teck there in outlining some pretty high grade mineralization. And trying to figure out a way to put it all together and potentially include it in the Quanica Stardust plan in the future.
All right. I hope that brings you all up to speed on Northwest Copper. And again, I have recorded a couple interviews with the company, so be sure to follow along with all of those. I'm going to be right back to wrap up the second hour with an update from Prosper Gold.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with the high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? Are you one of the millions who have taken Zantac or other generic versions of this popular drug to help treat stomach issues? Then pay close attention to this message. The FDA said it detected low levels of a probable cancer-causing chemical known as NDMA in Zantac and other generic forms of this popular drug. They've banned sales and even removed it from the market. If you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've taken Zantac or a generic equivalent, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. That's 800-998-7173.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The Internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio. 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Final segment of this weekend show and the last show of May. I am featuring an interview with Prosper Gold. This was posted back on Tuesday, and it breaks down the drill program, 10,000-meter drill program, that just started at the Golden Sidewalk Project in Red Lake, Ontario. Everybody, I hope you have a great weekend. Hey, everyone. Welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are getting an update from Prosper Gold. Traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol PGX and on the OTCQX under the symbol PGXFF. I'm chatting with the Vice President of Exploration, Rory Ritchie. Now, Rory, I had you first on the show at the tail end of January to introduce this company, a focus on the Golden Sidewalk Project. This is in Red Lake, Ontario. We discussed some of the historic work that had been done on the project, but quite frankly, what the company is going after here with this drill program focused on what you're calling the Golden Corridor. Now, you did some surface work, some till samples that you and I discussed, these pristine gold grains. Give us a little bit more information on the focus here of this Golden Corridor for this 10,000-meter drill program, please.
Yeah, you bet, Corey. Yeah, thanks for having me on. The Golden Corridor began in the initial stages as an exploration concept based on proximity to a regional scale structure known as an unconformity. Plays important roles in kind of localizing gold mineralization in Red Lake and on this side of the belt. So we had a good idea. There was geophysics that supported the concept. And then we did those tills last year that kind of, really anchored that concept in reality there. The pristine gold grain in till anomaly that is about 3.3 kilometers by 500 or 600 meters. And so what we're, the objective of this program is really to define the source of, with the drill, the diamond drilling, find the source of these pristine gold grains. We know there's a lot of them. It's a fairly continuous anomaly. So we're quite optimistic. And, we did some recently, since we last talked there in January, we did some IP. Those results are really supporting our concept that these resistivity high lineaments in conjunction with the magnetic low lineaments seem to carry through to the east so far. So, yeah, we're optimistic. Things are looking good. And, yeah, it's time to get down to the brass tacks with regard to these tills and try and figure out where they're coming from here.
So it really sounds like you guys have done all the surface work needed, and now it's time to start sticking some holes in here and seeing what is underground. What's that strategy going to be then? How are you going to go attack this golden corridor? Because, well, there is no past drilling here. So what's the attack strategy going to be?
Yes, so the corridor itself, as far as prospectivity, let's just say it's 5 or 6 kilometers. Now we have geophysics along about 4 of those kilometers, and we have a till anomaly that is probably sourced from about a 2 kilometer segment of that whole corridor there. So the idea now is we're starting with kind of 2 priority areas, largely based on the tills. The tills, because it's something that's fairly, you can be fairly certain that it's coming from a nearby source, given their pristine nature. That's the highest priority kind of criteria as far as targeting these things. So there's two areas of that overall till anomaly we're focusing on, and we're starting on with our exploration efforts. The first is the very head of the anomaly, and by head I mean furthest up ice end of the anomaly, and that happens to be the sample that ran 882, or didn't run, but it contained 882 gold grains, 100% of which were pristine. So what we've done is we've got 5 holes, we're starting there. Those 5 holes, 4 of those 5 are drilling across that conspicuous swamp that lines up with our lineaments. And another is just drilling south to test the rest of that prospective corridor. And we're going to kind of see what comes of that. And then maybe about 1.5 kilometers, just over 1.5 kilometers to the west, is another, the highest cluster of really high numbers in that till anomaly. That's within that overall greater anomaly. So kind of, let's just call it target A, target B. 5 holes in each to begin with. The holes will be 300-meter holes. Minus 45 degree dips. We know that the gold grains came from the near surface. And really, it'll just be a matter of, drilling and looking at the core and stepping out systematically to see what we're looking at. And then as soon as we get into something, well, then we can focus on infill drilling.
Okay, yeah, first things first, right? Go out there, poke some holes in this generally large target here and see where, I guess, the best-looking core is, where the best-looking grades are, and then further attack it. What about other targets? Are there any other targets outside of the Golden Corridor that you guys are going to be testing in this program?
The Phase 1 program, given that we have 30 to 35 holes and the fact that it's a multi-kilometer scale target, it will be focused on the Golden Corridor. That said, we are doing some till sampling, ranging anywhere from relatively close-spaced infill till grids to regional kind of looser-spaced till grids. So we will have two crews sampling tills that will generate further targets. One of these areas is quite a compelling target where there is a number of superficial gold showings, 2 of which have not been drilled, and we took some samples there last year, ranging anywhere from 8 to 18 grams per ton gold. But what we really want to do before we start drilling there was talk of drilling in this Phase 1, but we really need to pare down the area and know best where to focus our efforts, because gold, you want to kind of prioritize your targets before you start drilling, because otherwise it's easy to get caught in that game of just drilling away on what could be a small vein when you're 500 meters away from a bigger system. So the tills will be generating more targets. There'll be some prospecting concurrent with that, but the Phase 1 diamond drilling at this point is focused at the Golden Corridor. These orogenic gold systems can be elusive, so you really got to give it a fair shake and drill a fair number of holes to A, intercept appreciable gold mineralization, and B, to start defining controls, geometries, things like that.
Fair enough. But one thing that we keep on touching on here, you keep mentioning, is that this is just Phase 1, right? The company has money in the bank, fully funded for this 10,000 meters, and you, it sounds like, are then going to roll Phase 1 into a Phase 2 drill program in short order. Where does the company stand in terms of cash and the budget for this initial 10,000 meters?
The company currently has $7 million in the treasury, and that's after kind of getting the program up and running. So we're in pretty good shape financially. The budget will be about $2.25 million for this first program, and that includes all the reconnaissance till sampling and the infill till sampling we're doing in and around the Golden Corridor and at some of these other regional targets, because it is a big land position at 160 square kilometers. So yeah, we're in good shape financially, and yes, our intent is to roll this into a phase two program, which will hopefully include definition, maybe I'm getting ahead of myself with definition drilling, but let's just call it tighter drilling in and around the Golden Corridor and testing some of these other targets that hopefully are tightened up with the till sampling and the prospecting.
So, Rory, I think a lot of people know Red Lake very well in terms of some of the other projects and some of the other companies that have drawn a lot of investors' attention. Are there any other projects that you're looking at here and using as maybe a barometer or a bit of a guide in terms of what could be possible at the Golden Sidewalk project?
Yeah, I there's a couple. You could say we haven't, there's been no drilling here, so it's hard to get too far ahead of ourselves. But I do think, this is probably sounds a bit overly optimistic, but really the Red Lake Gold Mine. The Red Lake Gold Mine is parallel, it's in these faults. It's essentially bound by two faults that run parallel to that regional unconformity in Red Lake, locally there. So it's about the same kind of, it's analogous in that situation. We're looking for these second and third order faults that parallel, and they're just off of that regional unconformity. And the geology is similar as well. Mafic volcanics interbedded with ultramafics. That's what you see at the Red Lake Gold Mine. So the Red Lake Gold Mine, which is now operated by Evolution Mining, and really is what gave Goldcorp, took Goldcorp from a junior to a major gold producer there.
All right, there you have it. An update from Prosper Gold, again, posted on our website on Tuesday. Everybody, thanks for tuning in this weekend. Please keep the emails coming, fleck@kereport.com. And for everyone down in the U.S. and in Europe, I hope you have a great long weekend.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guest by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.
You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the Health Insurance Hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. Call 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.